Hey, this new last time around, we're glad that his health is much better now. Keep praying for him. Pray for him throughout the week. Brother Mike, take our hold.
Where you want me to take it?
Well, knowing you, you'll be taking it to the back of the church. Yeah.
Well, pray. What's this thing, brother? Does that make you stand higher?
That's to make you higher.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering, amen. That's a long way down for me to look, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for your pastor. And if you don't know by now, we pick on each other quite a bit, amen. It is good to be back here. The last time I was here in revival meetings was 2010, amen. And then I got sick. I had been heart failure back when I was supposed to be here in 2013. And had heart failure two times that summer. And then my heart went into AFib on top of that. Then I had pneumonia twice on top of that summer. I was a mess. I had to cancel all my summer meetings and had to cancel everything up until all the way up until the 1st of October, even to the end of October. And didn't really get back out on the road again until November that year. And I had to do the same thing back in 08 when I had open heart surgery. I had to cancel about 8 months worth of meetings, and then last year I had to cancel 2 months worth of meetings because they put me through ablation therapy and then they, I don't know, all kinds of stuff, you know. And then my doctor told me last year, he said, I want to see you in January. I said, Doc, I said, I'm not going to be here in January. I'm a doctor's worst nightmare, amen. I never do what they want me to do, and I'm never where they want me to be. And so he said, I want you to be here. We're going to be in Psalm 85, by the way. He said, I want you to see you after you did the ablations, I want to see you in, January. I said, I'm going to be gone. I said, I got meetings down south in Florida and Alabama and down in that area all winter. And he said, well, can I see you again? I said, April. So he set up a meeting in April, and I got in there in April, and I had a echocardiogram done. He says, your heart injection fraction is still only 30%, so we're going to have to put in a pacemaker now. And I said, when do you want that done? He says, yesterday. I said, listen, Doc, this is April. I said, I can give you the week of July the 12th, amen. And he said, well, I'll work for that. So I got in there July the 12th and did the pacemaker. And the following week, I went in to see him on a Tuesday a week later. And he said, you're good to go. I said, all right, I'll see you. And we left on Thursday for next meeting and been at it ever since. Amen. I can't stop. Amen. I just can't. I want to. I don't want to. They want me to, but I can't do it. I just can't stop. I want to preach until the day I die. And I hope I don't die preaching on you. Amen. But if I die preaching, praise the Lord. I just want to preach until the day I die. That's all. And God's been good. He's been good to me. And he's good. God is good. All right, now hear what you say. If I say God is good, you say all the time. And if I say all the time, you say
God is good.
All right, thank you. All right, let's try it. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Thank you. Amen. That'll get us started, amen. And hope you're getting fired up today. Where did the preacher go? Did he leave? Did the pastor leave? Oh, you're way the backslider. You know, I tell you. Psalm chapter 85. And now, if you're able to, if you're not, I don't want you to, but if you're able to stand up with me, can we stand up, please? And if you're not, you just remain seated, please. I do not want somebody standing up that has a hard time with that. Please do not. It's just a habit I formed over the years. Amen. So, and when you can, you do it. And if you can't, you can't. You don't worry about it. Here in the book of Psalms, chapter 85, verse 1 says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Then he says, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show unto us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again into folly. Now, Father, thank you for your precious word, and I'm asking God today that you'd speak to our hearts and help us, dear Lord, please. I ask, Father, that we would have ears that will hear what you would have us to hear, and Father, hearts that will respond to you. And Lord, I pray that there might be anyone in our presence who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that you would speak to that heart this morning, Heavenly Father, and this day might be their day of salvation, that you be well pleased now with all that's said and done here, Father. Help us now. Help me as I preach in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin today, I'd like to speak a message or preach a message I've simply entitled, Are You Willing to Ask God? I want you to think about that for a moment. Are you willing to ask God? We talk about revival. We talk about salvation. We talk about getting things right with the Lord. But many people are not willing to do what it takes. Many people say they want revival. Many people say they want to be right with God. Many people say they want to follow God and obey God. Many people say they want to go to heaven, amen, but they don't want to do what God says. They don't want to do it God's way. A lot of times we want to do it our way and think we're going to be okay. And I want to tell you what, your way is not okay. God's way is always okay. Look with me, if you will, back in our text here, beginning in verse 1. Are you willing to ask God? Number 1, are you willing to ask God to turn you? Excuse me, down to verse 4. He says, turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Turn. That word turn simply means this. If you would look it up in an old Webster's 1828 dictionary, or if you had a Strong's concordance and you look it up, it's going to say the same thing. It means to draw back. It means, I like this one because my roots go back all the way to, I know you say roots, I say root, amen. It goes all the way back to West Virginia. I like this one, fetch home again. Fetch it on home, amen. Turn you. Draw back, it means that word turn. It means to pull in. It means to rescue. It means to restore. It means to make or cause to return. It means to reverse, go in another direction. And sometimes we need to reverse ourselves. Sometimes we need to ask God just to simply turn us. Would you be willing today to ask God through the message this week to work in your heart to turn you as a child of God where He wants you to be? You say, Brother Mike, I'm all right with God. That's already an indication with me that there's a problem, amen. There's not one of us that are always all right with God 100% of the time, every day of the week, every hour of the day. We all got our own difficulties, our own hardships, our own problems, amen. So I want you to come this week, please, with the idea and ask God to turn you and to work in your heart and to change you as a child of God. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17 says this, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Verse 31, I have surely heard Ephraim, he says, bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did hear the reproach of my youth. I want to look in back there in Jeremiah 31, verse 18, where he said, I was chastised, and as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me. He said, Lord, I need you to turn my heart. You say, I've never been chastised by God. I'll tell you this, then you're not a born-again believer saved by the grace of God. Because God says He chastens and scourges every son whom He hath received, that we receiveth. And that means every born-again believer at one time in their life has been chastised by God. You see, what's chastisement? We call that the old-fashioned woodshed experience, amen? And that means simply that God got a hold of you somehow, brought something into your life some way, some shape, some form to get your attention, amen? And sometimes when your kids were little, maybe you'd say, hey, like that, and it would get their attention. They would straight up. Maybe you said, hey, and a whack on top of that, and it straightened up, amen. I don't know. I don't think anything ever straightened me up when I was a kid, but they would think it, maybe they thought it did, but I would usually turn around and laugh at somebody if they did that to me. And now I want to tell you something. I want you to understand something. We need to be turned. And I like what he says here in verse 18 of Jeremiah 31 again. He makes statement, and I shall be turned. He said, turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. And what he's asking God, he said, God, I want you to turn me. Our problem is we like to turn ourselves. And when we turn ourselves, here's how we turn. We say, we're going towards the wrong direction, but here's how we turn. We turn like this sometimes, and we say, what am I missing? What's going on back here? Or when God turns us, here's the idea. When God turns us, our focus is on Him, and not on what we're missing, not on what we can do or what we have done. Our focus will be on Him and on Him alone. And He makes a statement, turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Verse 19 says, surely after that I was turned. Now listen to this. After I was turned. When God works in my heart and begins to turn me, and I turn and I turn away from the sin, and I see the holiness of God, I see the righteousness of God, I see the purity of God, and then He makes this statement, I repented. After that I was turned. Now sometimes we turn, I say that repentance simply for you and I as believers is a turning around or a changing of the mind. But I cannot change my mind without God's help. I cannot change my mind without God's intervention, because my mind is still going to be dwelling on the sin. My mind is still going to be dwelling on the wickedness and the ungodliness. My mind needs to be dwelling on God. I need Him to turn me, to work in my heart. Are you willing to ask God to do in your life what it takes to turn you? That's what we need. We need to be turned by a holy, righteous, pure God. He says, surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. What's that mean, Brother Mike? Well, have you ever seen anybody when they got bad news, sometimes they might do something like this and go, no, I can't believe it. And that's the idea. I can't believe that I've drifted so far from you, God, that I turned my back so far away from you, that I walked so far away from your grace and your mercy in my life. I can't believe I've gotten that far away, God. It's the idea that we have realized that we have separated ourselves from a holy, righteous God. You know, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. There's things from your past life before you were saved, and maybe when you were younger that you still have scars from. Amen. It's like when they open my eyes, I still got a scar from here to here and one from here to here now. Amen. You get scarred. I got one on my arm, a scar on my arm from years and years ago. And you bear the scars of your life. And maybe you got some scars in your life from before you were born again, saved by the very grace of God. You do not, just because you get things right with God, do not mean the scars are not there. I heard a fellow years ago preach at a Midwestern Baptist college in Pontiac, Michigan. His name was Dr. Clothier. And Dr. Clothier got into the pulpit, and he was he was preaching at a conference, and a bunch of us were in a room with him talking to him, and he was giving a message. He said this, one time he said, when I was preaching, he said, I took an old leg trap, one of the traps you open up like this, you know, not with the barbs in it, but just a steel trap that you would open up for certain animals you might want to get rid of in your home. And I know that they put live traps out and stuff. I say, just shoot the stinking thing, amen. But anyway, they opened up the trap, and he opened that trap up, and I'm sitting on a pulpit up in front of him. And he goes like this, some people like to get as close to sin as they can get. And he was going in and out of that trap, all around, and in and out of that trap. And he never hit that spring in there, he never hit that trigger, you know. And then he says, but eventually, I want to tell you something, you're going to get caught. And he hits that thing, and that thing slammed shut on his hand. He had a great big old beefy hand. And he had a little chain on that, and he would hold that up in the air with that chain dangling down here. He said, and you're going to get caught in sin one of these days. And then he would take that trap and stick it on his big old beefy hand when that coat pocket is, and that chain was still hanging out. He said, and here's the problem. He said, you'll be thinking that nobody knows what I've done. He said, but they can still hear that thing dangling. They can still see it. He said, I want you to know something. Then when you confess your sin, and he opens that trap up again on the pole, when you confess your sin, he puts his hand back in his pocket for a little bit. He said, you confess your sin. He said, God is just and faithful to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But I want you to know something. The scars are still there. He holds his hand and there's a great big old fat blue welt across the back of his hand with a trap shut on his big old beefy fat hand. Amen. I tell you what, my friend, that's us as believers in Jesus Christ. God chases us. God deals with us. God will bring us to a place where we need to turn our hearts back to Him, to follow Him, to be obedient to Him, to do what we ought to do as a child of God. When God turns you, He said, I was turned. When God turns you, you will be turned. When God turns you, you will repent. When God turns you, you will be ashamed of your sin. And when God turns you, you will bear your reproach, those things that you were involved in before you were saved, or maybe even after you were saved. You run into people all the time, and somebody might walk up to you and make this statement. They say, you know, you say you're a Christian, but you did this, and here's what you need to say. Yep, you're absolutely right. I did, and I was wrong, and I confessed that to God and made it right. I hope you have made it right with God, and I want to tell you what, I'm sorry and ask you to forgive me. Amen? That's what we need to do. The problem is we're so stinking prideful that we don't want to do that. We don't want to get things right with man and with God. And we need to. And by the way, can I tell you this? You might say this to me. You might say, well, Brother Mike, I'm not doing that sin anymore, so I'm okay. Listen, I'm glad you're not doing it anymore, but if you've never confessed it to God, then you're still not right with God. You can quit anything you want to quit if you decide to quit it. But if you don't confess that to God and make that right with God, then you're still not right with God. It's just that simple. You cannot prove anything different to me in the Word of God. I've been in long enough where God has showed me a few things and got a hold of my stinking bullheaded attention, amen? Just like some of you have out here, amen? Are you willing to ask God to turn you, number one? Number two, are you willing to ask God, look down at verse 6 with me, He makes this statement, He said, wilt thou not revive us? Again, I preach a message on this text. Will thou not revive us again that we may, or he says that for you and I, that we might have the joy, or that we might, that people may rejoice in thee. Will thou not revive us again? Are you willing to ask God what it would take to revive you? He wanted to turn you. Are you willing to ask Him to revive you? Are you willing to do what it would take to revive you as a believer in Jesus Christ? Or, I kind of make this statement, if you have never been revived, that means made alive, to start with, then you cannot be revived. Did you hear that? Otherwise, if you have never been made alive, you've never been vived to start with. That's what that word vived means, to be made alive. If you've never been vived to start with, then you cannot be revived. So let me just say this to you for a moment. Has there ever been a time in your life when you came to Jesus Christ recognizing your sin before a holy God? Now don't tell me this afterwards that I've always believed. No, my friend, I want to tell you what. I did too before I was born again, saved by the grace of God. When I was about 10, 11, 12 years old, I got baptized, went to a little Bible church, but had never been saved. Had never been saved by the grace of God. I never recognized my sin before a holy God. I never asked Him to forgive me for my sin. And it's not by you saying, well, I do that every day. I've heard people have told me that. I've knocked on thousands of doors around this country. Knocked on huts in Papua New Guinea, brother. Talked to people in Australia. Knocked on over 1,000 doors, or was involved in knocking on 1,000 doors in Newfoundland, Canada years ago. Talked to people all around this world, all around this country. And people sometimes will say, but I always, every day, I ask God to forgive me. Well, I'm glad, amen, we probably ought to do that, but has there been a time in your life when you can tell me, I can look back at that specific day, and I know that's the day that I got saved, that's the day I trusted Christ, that's the day that I got born again. There's a difference, amen, my friend. You need to be born again. I had a guy up in Maine come to me a few years ago in a church, and I don't know if I have it written on my forehead, just ask him a question or something, but he sat down in front of me, and he turned around, and as soon as he turned around, he said, I know there's some people out there that believe that you need to have a time in your life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and believe. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, I've believed ever since I was a little kid, but he'd never been saved. He thought that was his salvation. Before I was saved, I believed that Jesus Christ, listen to me, I believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God because that's what I was taught. Before I was saved, I believed that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died. Before I was saved. Before I was saved, I believed that Jesus Christ shed His blood upon the cross of Calvary. Before I was saved, I believed that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I believed all those things before I was saved. But I was not a believer. I was not a born-again believer. I was not a saved believer. And many people today believe those things, but they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You have to have a time in your life when you have been made alive by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you have not done that, my friend, today would be a perfect day to begin. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." My friend, to revive you, to be revived, number one, you need to be humble. Amen. You need to recognize the fact that you have a problem between you and God, and that God is right and that you are wrong. You need to admit the fact that God is the one who has the answers, and you don't have the answers apart from God. Amen. You might think you do. I've known some smart people. I've met some geniuses in my time, met some people who are authors, met some people who know things, but they do not know Jesus Christ. I hope that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. That word humble here in the text in Isaiah 57:15 simply means, literally, it means depressed. Depressed. And it's not talking about your condition mentally. It's talking about that you recognize the fact that God is God and you are not. Amen. And you humble yourself underneath the mighty hand of a holy, righteous, pure God. And then he talks about contrite. That word contrite there, he said he will revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. The word contrite means to crumble. It means to break yourself down. It means to recognize that God is God and you are not. And you need to come to Him and trust Him and believe Him and quit believing everything else that comes down the pike around the world. And by the way, get back to the Bible, get back to the Word of God, and maybe get your nose out of the TV, get your nose out of the things that are not bringing you towards God, but those things that are taking you away from God. Get away from those things and start serving God. Amen. Get in your Bible and read the book, study the Word of God, find out what God has for you. Maybe put the self-help book away for a while and get the real self-help book. This one right here that's in my hand. Somebody told me one time, "Brother Mike, you are narrow-minded." I said, "Yep, about that much, about an inch and a half wide. That's about how narrow my mind is, amen, about an inch and a half." I have a friend that told me a while back, Brother Don Merritt, just passed away here a little over a year ago now, and he used to say, he said, "Mike," he said, "I'm so narrow-minded, I can look through a keyhole with both eyes and see a straight line," amen. That's pretty narrow-minded, amen. Are you willing to ask God to turn you, and are you willing to ask God to revive you? Are you willing to say, "God, whatever it takes, I want you to revive me"? Somebody asked me a while back, I preached a message on this thought, they asked me a while back, they said, "Do you think that we will ever see revival in America again?" We could. We could. You ever think you'll see revival in a church again? We could. We could. But it begins with you. Somebody said years ago, they said, stand on the ground and draw a circle around yourself and say, "Lord, start the revival in me. Start right here in the circle. Start it in me." Get your heart in a relationship with God where God can use you, where God can talk to you, where God can move you in the direction that He wants you to move. Push yourself aside. I have a hard time doing that. I have a hard time getting out of the way and letting God do what God wants to do, how God wants to do it. Amen. Anybody like that besides me in here? You can be honest with me this morning, because probably most of us are. Amen. But most of us don't want our wife or our husband or the people in front or behind us to know that we are. Amen. So we don't stick up our hand. Well, we are. Actually, we are. Look at verse 8 with me down in the text. Not only do we need to ask Him to turn us and ask Him to revive us, but I want to show you this. Look at verse 8. He says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak." I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Now, are you willing to ask God to speak to you this week? Are you willing? Are you willing to say, "God, would you just speak? Listen, Lord, I know we want God to speak to our husbands and to our wives and to our children and to our parents and to our neighbors and to everybody else in the congregation, but no. I'm asking you this. Ask God to speak to you. Would you be willing to ask God, "God, I want you to, this week, pray." Would you just pray and ask God, say, "God, speak to me this week"? Just ask God that. Speak to me. I ask God all the time, "Speak to me. Show me in your word what you'd have me do. Show me what you'd have me preach. Show me how you would, show me what you want me to do in my life. Show me where I can grow more." And by the way, you ever been here? You get something, you see it, and you finally get something right with God. Amen. Don't that feel good? But the very next moment, he says, "Now work on this." I'm like, "Oh man, I just got that right with you, Lord." Yeah, but now work on this. Amen. I have to have that happen all the time. I want God to speak to me. You remember over in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, where Samuel and was a little boy, and he comes to Eli, the priest and the prophet Eli, and he comes before Eli, and he's just a little boy now, and he's sleeping in his bed, and he hears Samuel, he hears his name called, and he gets up and he goes in, and he wakes up Eli, and says, "Master, what do you want?" And Eli tells him, "I didn't quite go back and go to bed." So he went back and he went to bed, and the second time he says, Samuel. And the second time he goes in, wakes up Eli, and Eli says, "Listen, I'm not the one. I did not call you, but if it happens again, here's what you say. Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth." The third time he goes in, and he hears Samuel, and Samuel says, "Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord gives Samuel a word that he ends up sharing with Eli later on. But you know what Samuel said? "Lord, speak." You willing to ask God to speak to you this week? "Lord, speak to me. Lord, use your word to talk in my heart. God, move in my life." In the book of Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, you remember Saul was on the road, became Paul later on, was on the road to Damascus. Paul ends up writing over half of your New Testament. And when he's on the road to Damascus as Saul, he's out persecuting the church. He was there at the stoning of Stephen when Stephen died. He was there at the stoning of Stephen. And Paul is persecuted. He's putting people in prison. He's ascending onto their death. He's out to destroy the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's out to persecute and destroy the church. And he says that later on in chapter 26 of Acts. He tells King Agrippa, "This is what I did and this is how I did it." And King Agrippa finally says, "Yeah, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian," he tells him. And so Paul, on his conversion, on that road to Damascus, you remember the Bible says he fell, when he saw the light, the Lord appeared to him, he falls down, and he makes this statement. He says, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" He said, you know what he's saying there? "Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me." Prayer's important. Amen. But the other side of that coin is God speaking to us. God dealing with our hearts. We were in a meeting a few years ago down in Perry, Florida. My wife and I and our son was there with us, and we had the Happiness Hills Girls Home there singing, in the meetings that week. It wasn't a revival meeting, it was what we call an old-fashioned jubilee meeting. That means we have years ago we'd have two preachers in the morning, we'd have another preacher in the afternoon, then we'd have two preachers every night. Now we have two in the morning and two every night, amen. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the first January of every year, the first Thursday of January every year, regardless if it's January 1st, the meeting will start January 1st, amen. And boy, we have a good feat going on down there, brother. Let me tell you, as small, not a huge church, but we get a lot of preachers coming into that meeting. And the girls were singing that Sunday morning. They were there on Friday night and Saturday night. The Holy Spirit started to move, and one of the girls stepped down out of the choir loft where she was singing, and she walked down and she got one of her house parents, and her house parent took her up the altar and led her to the Lord. Amen. She was singing a song. She says, "I realize I'm not saved." So that started on Saturday night. On Sunday morning, we started having, we never had any preaching Sunday morning. For 2 hours, brother, this went on. 2 hours. They get up and they're singing another song, and all of a sudden, one of the other girls gets down, and she goes down to her house parent, and says, "I need to get saved. I'm not saved." They took her forward, she got saved. Amen. Before the morning was over, people in the congregation and they kept on singing. People in the congregation were getting up out of their seat, coming to the altar and getting saved. Before the day was out, 16 people between Saturday night, one person, and 15 on Sunday morning had gotten saved by the very grace of God. One of the men who was a member of that church for a number of years, his father was part of that church starting years ago, and when his dad were there, and he got up out of his seat, and he came forward, and he got saved that morning. He wasn't a young man, he was in his close to 50 years old then, you know. And he came forward and got saved. He said, "I've never been born again," and got saved. I know a pastor up in North Sydney Mines, Nova Scotia. that was a Christian school administrator in a Christian school up in Nova Scotia. And then he left this Christian school and he became the pastor of a church as far north as you could go in Nova Scotia, North Sydney Mines, Independent Baptist Church. And he was talking to me in his house that night. We were staying there before I went to Newfoundland, Canada. Got on the ferry and went to Newfoundland the next morning. And he was talking to me. He said, "Mike, I want to tell you something." He said, "I took this church. I pastored this church. I administrated the Christian school." And he said, "I'm in my office studying one night, and the Lord told me, 'Here's your problem. You're not saved.'" He said, "I always thought I was. But I got down on my knees at that altar that morning, on that Saturday night, at my desk, at the chair was my altar that night." He said, "I got down on my knees and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me for my sin and to save me by His grace." And he said, "I've not been the same since." He said, "I got up the next morning, went to my pulpit, and I told my people, 'I want to tell you something. You got a new pastor in your pulpit this morning.'" He said, "This is what happened." He said, "I always thought I was saved, but I recognized last night in my office I was not saved." He said, "I got saved last night, and if you want me to preach, I'll preach. If you don't want me to, I won't." And he said, "Preach, pastor, preach, amen." And changed his whole ministry. Because now he knows he's born again and saved by the grace of God. There's a fellow that hangs around. He goes to the Sword of the Lord. Heard his testimony last year. Had been in the ministry. Came out of the service. Went back as a youth pastor in a church. Got involved and was serving the Lord. Pastor of the church. Same thing. And he would tell you his testimony himself, Pastor Bacino. And he said, "I got saved while I was pastoring a church." He said, "I went to my people and said, 'I just got saved.' And he said, 'I want you to know something. If you want me to resign right now, I'll do it. But I'm just glad I'm going to heaven. Amen.'" And they said, "No, preach, pastor, preach." And he's a great preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Don't fool yourself. Make sure. See, I know I'm saved. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. It has everything to do with what God has done. Amen. And he told me if I believe in Him and confess my sin and come to Him, he said, then you will be born again. And I had been born again by the grace of God. In 1 John, somebody always says, "You can't know for sure." Well, then you disagree with the scriptures. Because 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says this. He says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the..." 1 John is written to Christians, by the way. "These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," K-N-O-W, "that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So you can know that you have eternal life, and if you don't, then you can believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen? The scriptures tell me I can know. I know. Why? Because of the scriptures. Not because of me, but because of what the Bible says. I've never doubted my salvation since I've been saved, Pastor. I've doubted some stupid things I've done and said, "How can you be saved and do that?" Amen? But conviction. That's the Holy Spirit that convicts me. Amen? And I thank God for that. But I want you to know something. You can know for sure. The Bible says you can know for sure. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe the Bible. And I'm talking about the right Bible, amen. I'm talking about all these things that come down the pike over the years, all these new translations. No, they take a lot of stuff out of the Word of God. This one has it all in there. The OKJV still has it all in there, amen. I can trust this. How can you trust something when they take something out, preacher? They take stuff out of it. How can you trust it? You know, you can't. I believe what the Bible says, amen. It don't need to be rewritten, it just needs to be re-believed, amen. Just believe it. Look with me, if you will, now back to our text, Acts, Psalm chapter 85. Now be willing to ask God to turn you, be willing to ask God to revive you, be willing to ask God to speak to you. And then when you come down to verse 8, he makes this statement, "I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak praise unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly." Ask him to keep you from returning to folly. Are you willing? What's folly, Brother Mike? Well, all those stupid things that we did before we were saved that we ought not to do today, and we return to that stuff in our lives, he tells you in the book of Galatians. In fact, go to the book of Galatians with me just for a moment. He tells you in the book of Galatians over there in the New Testament. Let me get myself over there. Over in the book of Galatians, and he tells you in chapter 4, he tells you down in verse, listen to what he said down in verse 8 and verse 9 of the book of Galatians, chapter 4. He makes this statement. "How be it then, when he knew not God?" Paul writing to the church of Galatia. Howbeit then when you knew not God. How is it that when you did not know God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods? Otherwise, you served the idols, you served all these things that were not gods, and you didn't have a problem following them, you didn't have a problem obeying them, you didn't have a problem obeying those laws, but you didn't know them, you just served them. And then in verse 9 he said, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, so you know God and you're known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Why would you turn back to put yourself in bondage to sin? And they're dealing here with grace versus the law in the book of Galatians. The grace of God versus the law of God. It's not the law that saves you, it's the grace of God that saved you, and they're putting themselves back underneath the Old Testament law. But we do the same thing in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. We go back to the things that draw us away from God rather than follow the things that draw us to God. That's folly. He said in Proverbs 26:1, he says, and it's a little bit, it gets a little, if you ever had a dog, you understand this scripture, amen, because he makes a statement, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Now, I didn't call you a fool, but he said, if you return to your folly, then you're foolish, amen. It's just that simple. We return back to those things that draw us away from God. A man that goes back to drugs, a man that goes back to immorality, a man that goes back to a drinking, a man that goes back to smoking, a man that goes back to the filthy language, and a man that goes, and I know some that have done that. I know some pastors. I've got some good friends. They're no longer in the ministry today because they went back to their folly. Went back to the things that drew them, listen, went back to the things they got saved from. Went back to that lifestyle. I've got a brother that you couldn't pastor. He pastored a church, started a church, went to Bible college, graduated independent, fundamental, King James only, Baptist, so separated he became an isolationalist, and him and only one other guy were right with God, and neither one of them are serving the Lord today, neither one of them are in the ministry today, and the one left his wife and moved in with another woman the same night, and walked out on his family, that was my brother, walked out on his family, no longer serving the Lord, and you can't talk to him about the things of God today. I've heard things come out of his mouth now as a believer, supposedly a believer in Jesus Christ, that I used to say before I was born again, saved by the grace of God. God cleaned up my mouth, amen. God cleaned up my heart. God cleaned up my mind. And that's where we need to be as believers in Jesus Christ. Let God clean us up. Let God clean us up. Keep us from our falling. He said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, for if after they have escaped from the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Otherwise, I see them go deeper into sin than before they were saved. The latter end is worse for them. He says in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 22, but it's happened to them according to the true proverb. He says the true proverb. And part of that proverb is the dog is turned to his own vomit again. And then the second part of that proverb is this. You won't find it in the book of Proverbs, but this saying that the Jewish nation had, that the sow was washed to her wallowing in the mire. How many of you have ever been to a fair? You ever been to a fair? You ever been to the judging contest? You know, they take that pig. I never understood it. See, they bring that pig out. It's all washed, nice and pink, you know. And sometimes it looks real nice and clean. And they bring that thing. And I don't know about you, but what I see is pork chops, ham, bacon. That's all. It's sausage. That's all I see when the pigs come out there. Amen. I mean, I see the cuts. I mean, I see like the dotted lines drawn on them where you're going to cut that ham off and stuff. That's what I see. But them stinking pigs, they go back. As soon as they take them back to their pen, they'll end up laying down in the mire, laying down in the muck, and they roll around that stuff again and get all nasty within just a matter of a few moments of being back in that pen. Usually, with just a little bit of time, and they're rolling around back and all that garbage again. When I was in prison, when I got saved in prison in 1974, in 1971, I was on a prison farm. And we had about 11 or 1200 head of cattle, and then we had about 50 milking cows, And then we had about 1,100 hogs, brother. Amen. And I tell you, that is nasty in the summer to clean them hog pens. Let me tell you, I'd rather cut wood, Tom, any day of the week. Amen. To clean the hog pen. I did that when I was there too. But he said that's like the person who goes back. That's what he equates them with. The person that goes back to his old ways, to his old self, to his old sin. You say, but I don't do some of those things anymore, Mike. No, but how's your anger? How's your bitterness? How's your hatred? How's your emulation? How's that stuff in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ? It's no different. Sin is sin. Are you willing to ask God to keep you from falling? He said in Hebrews 10:39, but we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe for the saving of the soul. I like what he says in Hebrews. We're not like some of them. You know, we believe God saves the soul and he keeps us saved. Amen. We're going to follow him and walk with him and do with him. And Paul would be the first one to tell you that the thing, let me just break it down because I always get the scripture twisted when I try to quote it. He said, the things that I would do are the things I don't do. And the things I should do, I don't do. And the things I should not do are the things I do. Amen. And then he says also in scripture, but by the grace of God, there go I. James 4:8 says this, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. And he will, he says, draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Can I have a volunteer for a minute? Can I get one man, quick, just volunteer for me real quick. All right, Tom, I see your hand.
If you can't even raise your hand, I got a call on you. You can show yourself. I want you to stand right over here, way over here. All right. You turn sideways. And when I ask you to take a step, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to take a step. A little step. Toward me. All right, 1 minute. All right. Now, I'm not God. But let's just say, let me give you another three. Let's say it works like this way. Tom's out of fellowship.
I don't know if you are or not. I'm just saying you're out of fellowship, amen. Right now you're out of fellowship with me, buddy, amen. And I've spoken to your heart, and you want to get something right with me. So now he says, draw nigh to God. Take your step. Just a little step. And God says, Tom, now you're getting some things right. You're getting some things straight now. So now, I want you to do this. Take another little step. Just a little step. Tom, you're close. You're close. You need to get this thing right with me right now. Take a step, Tom. That's how God does it. He wants us to step. And the closer we get, the farther he comes. You didn't have to go all the way over there, did you? Just a little step.
And
that's what God wants. He wants us to draw nigh to him. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know specifically where you're at between you and God in your life. I know where I'm at many times. And I know the steps I need to take. I know what I need to do. I know how I need to move. I know where I need to be. And I want to tell you something. I fight that sometimes. I fight that. I fight it. I'm going to ask you two questions this morning. Number one is this. Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Because you cannot be revived, and this will mean nothing to you. You can't do anything about this if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So the first step, listen to me. The first step for those who do not know Christ as their Savior is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and coming to Him and seeking Him and let somebody show you how that you can be born again, saved by the grace of God. So I'm going to ask this question this way. Is there anybody in here right now, and I'll pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Maybe you just slip up your hand and say, Mike, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm saved, upstairs or downstairs, it does not matter. Anybody like that right now, you just slip your hand up and say, I'm not sure. God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. Anybody else? Slip your hand up. Oh, sir, I see your hand. Praise the Lord, you put that down. Anybody else? I'm not sure. Upstairs, anybody at all? Anybody else downstairs there? I'm not sure. I'm just not sure I'm saved, but Like to be. Anybody else like that this morning? Anybody else like that this morning? As I look around, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Second question is this. You say, Mike, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. Could you just pray for me? How about right now, just slip your hand up in the air. God bless you. Come on, don't be afraid to put your hand up and ask for prayer. God bless you. You can put them down. Amen. You can put them. Anybody else this morning, say, pray for me. The Lord spoke to my heart. Upstairs, downstairs, just pray for me. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else this morning? God bless you. I see your hand. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. If you can, let's stand our feet as I pray. Stand our feet. Let me pray. Father, I thank you, first of all, Lord, for these. Lord, I saw two hands raised about salvation. Oh, Lord, if a person's not sure, Lord, help them to get a surety of what you've already done in their heart. Or if they're not sure, Lord, help them to get the understanding of true salvation. They put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. And that you'd have the honor and the glory because of it. And Father, I thank you for these others who raised their hand and said, pray for me because the Lord has spoken to my heart today. I ask God, help them to do what they need to do. Father, we might take that step to begin with for salvation, but then we might take that step towards you, Father, that we need to get some things settled and right and glorify you in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. Father, help us now. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the day, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed yet. Amen. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to do this. If you raise your hand, you said, Mike, pray for me. I need to be saved. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Now, if you did that, I want you to look up here at me. Just look up here at me. All right, and I'll be over here in just a minute. Don't answer me out loud, okay? Because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But you're not sure. Am I correct about that? Would you like to be sure today? All right, would you step up and come forward and let someone talk to you? All right. Sir, you're not sure? Am I right about that? Would you like to be sure today? Would you like to get it settled? Would you step out and come? How about right now? You can step out and come. Come on up. Pastor, can we get somebody to talk to these right now? You have somebody available that you can, or you can, whatever you want to do. I'm not sure how you want to do it, but if you get somebody to talk to them right now, then I'm going to have the other folks come up in just a minute. You raised your hand a minute ago and you said, Mike, listen, Mike, pray for me because God spoke to my heart. I want you to get up. This altar is open. I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to come right now or stand where you're at. Come right now. Come on. You raise your hand. Come on. Come on. If you raise your hand, say, Mike, pray for me. I need to get some things straight with God. God spoke to my heart. You take that first step. Come on. Come on. Come on. Some of you raise your hand. Slip out and come. More of you raise your hand. You ought to slip out and come. You should never be ashamed to slip out and come to the altar in the house of God. Amen. You slip out and come. Come on. Some of you others raise your hand. You slip out and come. And some of you say, I didn't raise my hand, but I should have. You slip out and come. Upstairs, downstairs, don't matter. You just slip out and come. And let God do what he wants to do in your life and in your heart and how he wants to do it. Amen? Just let him do what he wants to do. Father, I thank you for these who have come. Lord, for these two for salvation, Lord. Making sure, God, of their eternal life. And then, God, I pray for others here, Father, who slipped out, taking the first step, Father. Draw close to them. You say, if we draw close to you, God, that you'll draw close to them, Father. You'll draw close to us. Help us, dear God, please, to honor and to glorify you with our lives, Father. Lord, help us not just to stop with one step, but, God, that we would take another step. And, God, that we would take another step, Father, until we feel that we are so close to you, Lord. We can come to you crying, Abba, Father, Lord, that term of endearment that we have with you, dear God. I thank you, Father. And that's what these have done this morning, Father. Those who need to be saved and those who are already saved, Father, have come crying, Abba, Father, in our heart. They want your help, Lord. Please, Father, strengthen them and use them to your honor and to your glory, that you be magnified now. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed, yet amen. And Pastor, if you want to get somebody real quick, and I'll let you finish up to speak with these folks.
All right. If I could ask maybe Brother Dave, if he would come and speak with this gentleman, and Janie, if you could ask you to speak with this lady, I'd appreciate that. And tonight we're going to be using these. That'll be helpful. They're in the back for those who make decisions. Sorry to call you on you. I did not prepare for that. I am sorry. I was ready for that tonight. But if you could help us with that, we appreciate that. That was a good message, wasn't it? A great message to start our 2016 revival meetings. One verse that came to my mind when Brother Mike was preaching was from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, or 15:22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, but even so in Christ shall all be made alive." In Christ. It's not about religion. That's what the world's selling. What the Bible is teaching is a relationship with God. That's how you're born again. The problem is we got it all messed up with religion. Are you saved? Mike, when you were talking, I was thinking of myself. I grew up knowing Jesus died for me. I was in church, you know, I knew all about all the doctrine, but I was not born again. I was not born again. I knew I was not born again. I didn't know what to do about it until I went in a church and I heard, you need to be saved. You need to make a decision. Tell God you're sorry. Have a personal relationship with God. Can't have it unless you know Jesus Christ. Folks, I didn't say this. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said it. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." You'll be called narrow-minded. It's okay. I don't mind. Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and a few there be to find it." Why? Because everybody's looking to get saved by religion. You'll never be saved that way. Church won't save you. I'm glad people come to church, but church won't save you. Mike, thank you. You did a great job starting this message today to get to the hearts of people. And we're happy for those that came forward. Pray for them. And I do believe that we have good counselors to talk to them. All right. Come back tonight for the next meeting. And the giveaways tonight, just to let you know, is we're going to give away God's Not Dead 2. That's where that came from, God's Not Dead 1. God loves you all the time. All the time. God loves you. Or God is good, rather. Okay? That's tonight. We're giving away that. The follow-up will be miracles from heaven. And then the children have some of their own giveaways. Get the word out, okay? Get folks to come. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for those that have come forward. Lord, may they truly know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. May they know salvation is not of them. It's a gift of God. Thank you for them to receive the gift. May you, Father, cement in their mind that it is a gift they asked for because they want it for themselves. And that once they have asked for it and received it by faith, that it is there for all time and eternity. May we know as Christians there will be times, as Mike talks about, that we'll fall away, even go back, as it were, to that analogy of a dog going to its vomit. But we can repent and we can ask for forgiveness and get back into right fellowship with you. Father, maybe that is the case here in some. Father, may your Holy Spirit do the work. Bless us now as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with just singing one stanza of "Just As I Am." "Just As I Am," hymn 387. And then we'll be dismissed. Thank you.